Today we're going to look at five marks of truth. The Lord says you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so today we want to look at five marks of truth. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to honor God as we read 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid argument, because you know they produce quarrel. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to them to the knowledge of the truth. And they will come to their senses and escape from the trap the devil who's taken them captive to do his will. Father, help us today to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the truth and that your word is the truth with all of our hearts. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. If anything marks our day today, it's that truth is subjective. And when I say truth is subjective, that means most people thought is truth is whatever I think truth is for me. What I think may be that I'm a frog, or I'm a dog, or I'm a cat. And if I believe that, you have to agree to it. That's why for the last 4 years, in fact, some part of the last 8 or 9 years now, teachers are being fired because they won't use the pronoun that a boy or girl in their class wants them to use in reference to who they think they are. If a little girl says, I would like you to call me Kitty because I am a cat, and the teacher says, I absolutely refuse to do that because you are a little girl, and I won't call you Kitty, they're firing them. Our service members who wouldn't acknowledge that a guy could be a gal or a gal could be a guy were kicked out of the military because they said, you are a woman or you are a man. Today, truth in our nation, broad set, is whatever you think truth is for you. It's become subjective. The way of thinking is nothing new. This has been going on for generations. It's just new to our nation. Up until 100 years ago, most people in our nation thought truth is objective. There is a source of truth. And most people in our nation would have considered the Bible and Jesus Christ to be the truth. That's no longer the case for most people in our nation. In John 18, verse 33, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied, "Your own people, a chief priest, handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." You are a king then? Pilate asked. You say I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, I find no basis of a charge against him. Folks, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And the truth was right in front of him. And he didn't have the knowledge or the will to wait for an answer. Folks, when you ask what is the truth, you need in sincerity to be looking for what is true in life, because we are bombarded every day with lies all around us. And we, according to God's word, have to be able to sort out the lies from the truth in order to walk in the truth. So if I went on a talk show today, we'll just say a radio station right in our area would invite Pastor Jerry to come down and talk about my faith. And I'd say, well, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at the age of 25, and I believe now I know I'm going to heaven. The vast majority would say, whoa, that's a wonderful thought. That's just beautiful. But if on that same show I said, and I further believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, how would the crowd react then? Jerry Larkin would not be accepted anymore. When you say there is truth, and truth is absolute, and there's only one truth, and that's God's truth, found in a person, Jesus Christ, and found in a book called the Bible, people don't like that today. You know, just 100 years ago in our nation, almost everybody believed that the Bible was the Word of God. Now, they didn't all follow it. They weren't all saved. But in our public schools, the Bible was taught. Prayer was there. In 1963, they kicked prayer out of the school. Didn't want any teachers reading the Bible anymore in our public schools, because that was religion. It wasn't the truth. What became the truth for our nation? If the Word of God is not truth, what is truth now? Under Biden's administration, how many times did you hear them say we have to follow the science? Science goes how far? True science is two things. It's observable and it's repeatable. If you can observe it over and over and over to find out what's true, folks, it's no longer science. And a lot of the things that our children are being taught in our public schools is not true science. And the Bible warns against science falsely so called. Today, it's whatever man says is truth. That was not the case in our nation up until about 100 years ago. But it was the case in many other nations for generations. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul talks to his society what's going on in his day. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Folks, that's the case in many nations prior to our nation now falling into that same exact trap. He goes on in verse 28, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. So they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. The problem took place in Europe in the 19th century, during the 1800s. The problem hit our country in the 1900s, the year 2000 and on. Folks, it's so important you understand what's going on in our nation today, because our nation is being moved from objectivity, that we have an object that we say, the truth is right here. It's found in a person. It's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also found in His revealed word, His inspired word, the Holy Scriptures. That used to be the case all across our nation, but not anymore. Because of mankind's sinful disposition, instead of now believing in a creator as a nation, now I know you don't, and I don't, hopefully you don't, you don't believe in evolution. But the vast majority of people in our nation today are being taught and believe that life is just an accident. There's no cause for it. It just happened on its own. And the child that's being taught that is being taught you are an accident. There's no reason for you to be here. There's no purpose for you to be here. And there's nothing after this. And we wonder, why are our children committing suicide so much? Suicide's the number one killer of children now, next to accidents, of course. But it's the number one killer besides that. Why? Because you can't know the truth anymore. It's depressing. And our children are becoming very, very depressed. They're believing the words of men instead of being taught the clear word of God. Our public schools, believe it or not, were set up in this nation to help children know the Word of God. The McGuffey readers had Scripture all through them, and children were being taught there is a God, there is a reason to be here, and one day you are going to answer to that God. You must get right with Him. You must live His way. Folks, our children are not being taught that anymore, unless, of course, they go to a Christian school someplace. But other than that, they're being taught lies by men who actually know better. When I went to junior high, I had a teacher named Mr. Gendron. Mr. Gendron was my biology teacher, and Mr. Gendron was of Catholic faith. But when I started my class, Mr. Gendron told all of us kids in that class, I have to teach evolution. That's what state requires. But before I start to teach you evolution, I want you to know, I don't believe it. Folks, that's character. He could have got fired for that. But I want to tell you, he stood for what he believed. He believed the Word of God. Again, Catholic, but it doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, as far as salvation, but as far as what you're being taught, it matters a lot. So we have to keep that in mind, but at least he was a man of integrity. And I still respect Mr. Jenner. He's gone, I hope, to be with the Lord. Now, I don't know if he received Christ personally. I don't know that, but he was a godly type of a man anyhow. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 5, we're given quite a warning by our Lord. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They'll dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Folks, if you take your knowledge of what's true and what's not true, just from mankind, apart from a revelation of God, you're going to be led astray how many times out of 100? 100 times out of 100. Men don't know the truth. The truth must be revealed by the one who is truth. And there's not a man or woman among us that's the truth. We only have one like that, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, maybe you wonder, how come I know the truth and other people that I talk to, they can't understand it? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we're not saying in this message that mankind is stupid. Mankind has done marvelous things. We've sent men to the moon. We created mankind, the computers, and all the rest. It's wonderful. But when it comes to metaphysics, and that's the story, metaphysics is the story of how it all started. You know, mankind can't figure that out. The Bible says mankind will never figure out how God started things. We are smart in some ways, but we weren't there at the beginning. And we can never figure out the deep truths of God. Nothing is absolute in mankind's idea today. But God says he is the absolute source of all truth. Only God knows what happened in the beginning. We move from objectivity, trusting in God and trusting in God's word now, to an object of that is the truth, to saying whatever you believe is true for you. Folks, it's quite a big movement that's happened in our nation in the last 100 years. It used to be that you could make an agreement with another man or woman, you could just shake hands, and there was enough integrity in people because they were fearful of the Lord that was it. It was going to be kept no matter what. Today, you can have 100 contracts signed and know the rules and know what you agreed to, but people can just break their word and it doesn't matter anymore. We've come a long ways, baby, but it's not the right way. In Psalm 15, verse 1, it talks about character, godly character. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises the vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Today, contracts, whether it's marriage or any other contract people go into, you can break those contracts for any reason. And everybody says, well, that's okay, that's just life. Folks, that's not just life. That's not believing in the truth that God has revealed. The Bible clearly teaches, once a man marries a woman, it's till death us do part. Anything other than that, it's not right. And so God wants us to be those people that have people of integrity, that believe his word is truth, and that live according to his word. Our pragmatic society is whatever works best for me at the time. I may have believed something yesterday, but it's not working for me today. So I'm going to do what works for me today. Folks, that's where we are as a society, and it's a sad place to be. People today are asking, does Christianity really work? And the truth is, what's important is, what do you mean by the question? Does Christianity work as far as making me healthy, wealthy, and wise the rest of the days of my life? Clear answer from Scripture is no, it doesn't work that way. That's not what Christianity is all about. People are asking the wrong questions. How can I get God, if I become a Christian, how can I get God to do what I want to do? What I want done? Folks, it won't work that way. God's word says, he's in charge, not us. We have to learn his will Not him learn our will. He already knows what you want. But if it's not good for you, you're not going to get it. He's a good parent. He loves you, and he's not going to give you that. But if your question is, does Christianity work to reconcile a lost sinner to God? Christianity works. I'm a son of God now, not because I'm a perfect person in myself, but because I trusted what God said. Christianity worked for me 100%. Does Christianity work so that I can have guidance in my daily life of what is true and what's not true and what does God expect of me? Christianity works just fine in that area. I've never had a question of God's word that God's word didn't answer. The answer for every question I've had in life is in the Word of God. I just have to find it. Folks, this is important. You have to ask the right questions. Does faith in Christ give meaning to my life? It absolutely works for that. I've got a reason from God to be alive. I've got a reason from God what I'm supposed to be doing, and I have a promise from God that if I do His will, I'm going to get an eternal reward. Christianity works just fine. So what we need to be asking is, will it work when life is over? Yes, I believe with all my heart Christianity is going to work for me when this life is over. I'm going to have eternal life. I'm going to have a brand new body. Will it work to make me a better man? Man, it sure has. If you knew me before and you know me now, you'd say those are two different guys. When Pastor Williams was first asked by my sister to come and witness to me, one of the deacons on the board went to school with my older brother. And he said, I knew Larkin when he was a youngster in high school. He'll never get saved. Guess what? He was wrong. Folks, God saves sinners. That's what Jesus said. I came to save sinners. And I praise the Lord that He saved me. When we talk about our problems are no longer sin, it's sadness. We're getting things backwards. We want to be happy all the time. God never promised in His Word that you're going to be happy all the time. He said you're a sinner who's saved, and He said you're going to go through much trouble in this life. That's what He said. But that's not what people want. I want God to do what I want. I want to be happy all the time. Not in this life. We're going to be happy all the time in the next life, but not this life. Jesus said in this life, you're going to have trouble. But He didn't stop there. He said, take heart. I've overcome the world. And because I'm in Christ, I'm going to overcome the world too. I am going to be in a place in a few more years where I'm going to be happy all the time, but not now. Christianity doesn't guarantee your happiness all the time. You have to learn the Word of God to know what He does promise and what He doesn't promise. He doesn't promise to make the sun shine every day of your life. Not going to happen. So when a society has moved from living a life of convictions to a life of opinions, we have a society that is literally falling apart, and we're watching it. We had a little reprieve here this last year, which I hope lasts for another three, but then we got to decide again, which way as a nation do we want to go? And more people are falling away from the Christian faith. That's why you and I need to be sharing our faith. Because in the elections, it's made up of people just like us who believe Christ has spoken, Christ is the truth, the Bible is the truth, and it's made up by others who say, I don't know who Jesus Christ is. I don't know if He's Savior. I don't know if He's Lord. I don't know if the Bible's true. So we need to win people to faith in Christ. Today, because people don't believe the Bible is the Word of God and they don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, integrity has gone by the wayside. You see it all over our nation today. Integrity is gone. In Proverbs 11, verse 3, it says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Duplicity is one of those words we don't use much anymore. But what duplicity means is you say with this group, this is what I believe. And then duplicity goes over to another group that believes the exact opposite and say, I agree with you. This is what I believe. That's the society we're in today. They'll tell you what you want to hear, to get you on their side. They don't live by integrity anymore. They don't live by the fact that the Bible has spoken on this matter, and that is what I believe, and that is what I'm going to do. That's why today there are no absolutes in any area of our nation, other than those that believe that Jesus Christ is still Lord. So I want to show you real quickly five characteristics of the truth. Five ways you can know what I'm being told, is it true or is it not true? Number one, truth has objectivity. There's an object to our faith. It isn't just based on what we think or what we believe. It's based upon the Word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then you go down just another three chapters in John 17, 17. Jesus prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Truth cannot be discovered by going deeper into ourselves. Through reflection, through meditation, I'll just focus on what I believe and it's all going to come clear. No, it's not. The truth isn't in you until you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says clearly, all men are liars. That's what it says. And so we have to go with that. Truth does not have its basis about how I feel about things. Truth is revealed by God, who is the truth. No other way to go about it. Number two, truth is universal. Jesus said he is the truth, therefore he's the truth for everyone. Today we have people saying, yes, Jesus is the truth, but so is Muhammad, so are the Hindu Verdis, so are whatever I think. Folks, that may be true to them, but it doesn't make it the truth. The truth is, in John 14, verse 6 again, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you enjoy math, if I say 2 plus 2 is what? You're going to say, hopefully, 4. Now, if you said 5, somebody might say, well, they meant well, so we'll just say it's okay. But it's not okay, is it? 2 plus 2 is always 4. It's universal. You can get one right answer, 2 plus 2 is 4, or you can get a zillion wrong answers. I believe 2 plus 2 is 7, teacher. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you take two fingers here and two fingers there and you put them together, you got 4 fingers up there. That's the truth. People want to make the truth their self. Again, Proverbs 11:3, this is one you really should memorize if you haven't. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. You say you believe something, but when the test comes, it's obvious you don't believe that. Folks, that's duplicity. Whatever's working for me right now, that's what I believe. That's not the truth. That's your made-up truth, but it's not going to work very well. Duplicity is a deception. Integrity is soundness. It's adherence to a code of values that you hold to. People used to say, there goes a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman. How long since you've heard somebody say that other than me? It's been a long time for me. People don't say it anymore because it's almost an insult. They're a God-fearing person. They're not free like I am. I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can do whatever you want, but in the end, you are going to answer to a God who is holy, and it won't be pretty. When people look to you at your life last week, the week before, do they see a person of integrity, or do they see a person of duplicity? If you want to be a person of integrity, the Lord tells us how we can get the wisdom of God. And it's found in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But you must ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. There's going to come a time in your walk of faith where you're going to have to say, with all my heart, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and is Savior, and I believe the Word of God is the truth. Until you get to that point, you're never going to know. You're always going to be wondering, is the Bible true? Is Jesus Christ really the Savior? But the day you put your full weight on Christ, you're going to know the truth. None of us can believe truth is putty. The truth has to be the truth. You have to have something that you can base your life upon. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Number 3, truth is exclusive. Now, we use the sense of 2 plus 2, and I want to talk about that just a hair more, but John 14, 6, this is very exclusive. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." People are trying to get to the Father by everything except through personal faith in Jesus Christ. They want God to accept him because of what I've done. I'm a good person. That's what I tried to tell Pastor Williams when he came to my house. I'm trying to live a good life. And Pastor Williams had the good sense to show me what the Bible said. There's none good, no, not one. That put me in my place. That's the truth. And I had to realize, I guess I'm not getting there by being good then. 2 plus 2, we've talked about before, is never anything except for 4. It's never anything else. Jesus said, we have to be born again. That's the only way to get right with God. That's the only way to really know the truth. In John 1:12, Jesus said, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." That is exclusive truth. You won't get there by faith in Muhammad. You won't get there through faith in the 10,000 gods of the Hindus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." Number 4, truth is knowable. You can know the truth. In John 8, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Folks, the truth is knowable. You can come to the point when you start to walk with Christ, when you place your faith that he is the truth and that his word is the truth, and you start to operate in that truth. You're going to have 100% assurance in your heart that the Bible really is the Word of God and that Jesus Christ really is the Messiah, God himself. You just know. There won't be any doubt about it. In John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. He'll glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me, and he'll make it known unto you." Folks, it's so important to understand. We believe in a triune God. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus, God the Son, went up to heaven after his death and resurrection. God the Holy Spirit came down 40 days later and he teaches us the truth. When I read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit convicts me and teaches me, yes, this is truly what God has said. So why can't many people understand it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the person without the Spirit, this is everybody that's never been born again, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, so they can't understand the truth, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person without the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Folks, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he begins to reveal to you in your spirit the truth. Because the truth of the matter is, when it comes to metaphysics, how things started, why are we here? Man can never learn that themselves. It's not going to ever be revealed. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, so we may follow all the words of this law. God has secret things that mankind is never going to figure out. So we need to stop that. We need to trust God's word. David, as a young boy, could say this about himself, and I'm going to tell you, many of our children are much wiser than many of their teachers today. David said in Psalm 119, verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. When our boys and girls and our grandkids, and for some great-grandkids, are going to school, and they're being taught that you weren't created in God's image. You're just another animal. You just evolved up through the process and we're continuing to evolve in your life, really. Come on. It has no meaning. You're going to live 70, 80 years and you're going to die and it's over. So just eat, drink, and be merry. When our children who have been taught the truth go to school, they can say with firmness, that teacher's wrong. Now, we tell them, respect your teachers, but they're wrong. I believe I was created by God. I believe I'm made in God's image. I believe I'm going to live for eternity. And I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They're far wiser than their teachers. Jesus again said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth is objective. We have a source of truth. The truth is universal. It's always true, no matter whether you believe it or not. It's still the truth. It's exclusive. If there is truth, everything else besides that truth is false. You can believe it if you want to, but it's wrong. The truth is knowable. You can know the truth if you trust in Jesus Christ. And the truth has value. You know, people that are going to get to Judgment Day and they trusted Muhammad or they trusted their good works or they trusted the Hindu gods, they really believed it. But it's not the truth. And so they're going to wind up in the lake of fire. People who honestly believed, I can live any way I want to and everything's going to be just fine, they're going to find out that was not the truth. Folks, we must come to the exclusive idea that our God has revealed the truth. And it's in His Word, and it's in His Word, the Son. And so we can rejoice that we know the truth. Father, we're grateful for this time in Your Word. Father, I pray for anybody here that hasn't yet made up their mind that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God. That Your Word, the Bible that we have, is the Word of truth. Father, I pray today might be that day for them. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.